Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to talk some Fightin' Irish as they had a huge double overtime win against the Trevor Lawrence-less Clemson Tigers on Saturday. Lots to talk about there. We're also going to dive into some NFL as the Saints completely embarrassed Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, really showing who's in charge of that division as the Saints have now beat the Bucs twice. So what that means for the future for both teams. And we also have a huge announcement to make in the Fichtner Cup League. A huge trade was made between Matthew Kleinhans and Nick Furnado, a.k.a. the Dodson Bailouts and the Minneapolis Micropoodos. So lots to dive into today. Let's get started. It was a wild day of college football on Saturday. Lots of action. None better, though, than the nightcap of Notre Dame taking down Clemson in double overtime. What a win for the program. The first time that Notre Dame has knocked off a number one opponent on their home field since 1993 when they beat Florida. This is a game that Notre Dame had to have. It was said that if they weren't able to beat a team without their starting quarterback in the caliber of Trevor Lawrence, that they wouldn't be discussed for the college playoff later in the season. So this was a must-win game. This was a playoff game for Notre Dame. Not so much for Clemson, as it doesn't look as bad for them, you know, losing in double overtime to a top-five team without even having your starting quarterback. So the pressure was all on Notre Dame coming into that game. And it looked like Clemson was going to take it at the end. You know, Notre Dame had their chances all games. ETN with a huge fumble early on for Clemson. Notre Dame not being able to capitalize on all of the mistakes by Clemson, as, you know, they were held to a couple of field goals, but they also held their own. You know, they also held Clemson to field goals at the end of the game. But, you know, Clemson going up by a touchdown at the end of the second half, you thought that Clemson, you know, it's here comes Dabo, you know, they're going to hold on. But here came Ian Book and Notre Dame Fighting Irish not going away, you know, sticking to who they are. And they just drove down the field, you know, in a two-minute drill where you think, okay, what does Notre Dame have to do here to get the ball in the end zone? And that was give the ball to their quarterback. He was lights out the entire game, but especially in crunch time, you know, he looked comfortable in the pocket. You know, he started running the ball. You know, he was, you know, he's more mobile than I think a lot of us thought. I mean, I've watched a lot of Notre Dame games, but, you know, he's not always, you know, the most mobile quarterback, but he can be if he needs to. And that was a huge win for the Fighting Irish. You know, in overtime, it looked, you know, glim to say the least, with, you know, Clemson scoring on their first, well, they thought they scored in their first play. After reviewing it, they were down at the 1 yard line, but it just looked like, wow, Clemson's just gonna take over here. But Notre Dame, they withstood the run, you know, and the first punch thrown by Clemson, and they were able to come out on top. And this is just what, you know, college football needs to see. You know, I'm actually, you know, I like Clemson. I have nothing against them, you know, but they're kind of like an Alabama team now where it's like, you know, they keep on getting these huge recruits and they keep on finishing as favorites to get into the college football championship. And they still are this year. I'm not saying they're not, but it's good to see another team proving that they can hang with the big dogs. And that's a Notre Dame team. And a lot of people, you know, hate Notre Dame. They're not fans. You know, they, you know, have a lot of bad blood with them. I really don't have any bad blood with Notre Dame. You know, I understand why people don't like them because of all their history and whatnot, but it's good to see another team, you know, thrown into the mix here. You know, it's, if there is a random team that gets thrown into the mix, it usually is Notre Dame, but, you know, they can't win those big games. And you know what? Losing to Clemson in that thriller a few years ago, only, you know, coming up 2 points short, it's good for them to get back on the map here. And now they're number one. You know, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish is number one, and I don't know if they're going to lose the rest of the year. I mean, looking at their schedule, they can definitely go undefeated. And that's what they're going to need to do. You know, college football is crazy. It's every week is a playoff game, in my opinion, for college football teams, because one loss can move you down just far enough where another team gets a big enough win and you're out. You know, you're one spot away from the college football playoff. And that's that. There's really no debate. So because who knows what is being talked about behind the scenes with the college football committee. I sure as hell don't know what's going on. So it's not like they can, you know, they can tell you the reasoning for everything, but to make sure you're in, you have to win. And that's just what Notre Dame did. So great. The game refused to be over as the refs pretty much reviewed every single play, which kind of drove me nuts as the game was going on 4 hours long. And I was like, come on, let's just get this game over with. But obviously they need to make sure, you know, this game is the biggest game of the year. So they need to make sure that they get each play right, which I understand. But they could have done it a little quicker. I think college football needs to really review that and be like, hey, you're going to lose viewers if you're going to, you know, make it to the game last 5 hours long, as opposed to three, maybe three and a half. So, but other than that, no complaints. I guess my other complaint is the Notre Dame crowd. I mean, it was the coach, Brian Kelly, before the game, told everyone if they win, everyone's going to storm. And that's exactly what they did. It was COVID city on the field at Notre Dame. I would love to see how many people got COVID from rushing the field. I didn't hear of any punishments going on. I mean, I don't know what you can really do if you're going to have fans in the field, but they maybe could have had better security. I mean, they easily ran the field. I mean, you know, obviously the crowd outnumbers the security guards, but kind of a bad look at the end of the game, as obviously, you know, a lot of teams don't even have crowds, or, you know, have very minimal. So I was always, you know, and it kind of backtracks to when I was like, you know, Notre Dame, you know, they had a crowd, you know, earlier in the season, and, you know, and they were, you know, they weren't like the SEC teams where, you know, no masks and, you know, people were partying in the stands. You know, they were very spread out. But I take that back because the Notre Dame fans were wild on Saturday. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do in a stadium full of college kids? You know, their number four team beats number one team. They're going to rush. It was a crazy day in the NFL on Sunday. We had Kyler Murray and the Cardinals taking on Tua time, where the Dolphins were able to escape with a three-point victory, as even though Kyler Murray had a career game, giving myself 37 fantasy points, you know, not to brag, but it was Zane Gonzalez coming up short at the end of the game, literally short, with a 48-yard field goal at the end of the game, and he couldn't make it to the uprights. You know, it looked good. It had, you know, it was on target, but it came up a little short. You know, Kyler Murray obviously pretty pissed after the game, says the team has to be better. Wasn't able to capitalize on his great performance. But at the end of the day, Tua really showed up on the Dolphins. You know, he's kind of a weird quarterback. You know, it doesn't look like he does a whole lot during the game because his defense is so good. And, you know, they have a pretty good system under Brian Flores in there on the offensive side. But he was really good. You know, he made some huge throws towards the end of the game. You know, he was super accurate. You know, he was mobile. He ran when he had to. So props to the Dolphins for being 5-3. I couldn't tell you the last time the Dolphins were 5-3. So Dolphins are onto something down in Miami. But so is Arizona. You know, both teams now 5-3. Kyler Murray is the real deal. He's the future of this league along with Tua. So it was pretty cool to see two teams that we're going to be talking about for a long time. But what I want to get into here now is the matchup between the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was a Sunday night game, you know, supposed to be one of the games of the year. You know, with the Saints beating the Bucs week one, you figure that Tom Brady's going to come out the second time around and not take the Saints' crap this time. Well, it was the exact opposite. This was the biggest blowout I've seen in a long time. 38-3, the Saints put a stomping down on the Buccaneers. Huge statement game. You know, going into the game, the odds to win the division was, you know, 61% for the Bucs. Well, that completely flip-flopped, as now the Saints might be Super Bowl favorites now. I mean, they looked unbelievable. You know, getting Michael Thomas back, it wasn't even like he did too much in the game, but just the presence, you could feel it. He made Breeze 10 times better. You know, you have Taysom Hill coming off the bench, who might be the best utility quarterback, running back, whatever you want to call him, I've ever seen. Pay the man. He is a huge part of that team. You know, they're able just to call that guy off the bench for big plays and certain drives, and he just comes through. He gets first downs. He bulldozes people over. He cannot be stopped. So with Breeze having that in his back pocket, Sean Payton having that, huge morality boost for the Saints. Their defense played unreal. A team that's motivated through Lattimore, who, you know, him and Mike Evans have a history, so that only, you know, produced good results for the Saints. As they came to play, they were ready. This is the best defensive performance I've seen all year from any team. And it hasn't been like the Saints have been, you know, dominant on defense. You know, they're middle of the pack. But all of a sudden, they look like a top five defense. And that's going to be huge for the Saints. If they can have that defense show up like that every week, they're going to be almost impossible to beat. You know, having Kamara, Breeze, and Thomas on the offensive side. You know, not to mention, you know, they have other receivers, Callaway. You know, they have Jared Cook, who didn't have the best game on Sunday, but he's great to have at tight end. Emmanuel Sanders back, you know, showing why he's a top receiver in the league. So, real good game for the Saints. The Bucs, super concerning. You know, yes, the Saints had a hell of a game, but the Bucs did not help their cause. They had drops by Gronkowski. Mike Evans had some drops. You know, the running game's almost non-existent right now. Brady looked awful. He made some passes that I cannot believe he's thrown. I'm sure he thinks the same thing. You know, his facial expressions throughout the game were just, you know, really, real disappointing. You know, he was just a real sad boy out there on Sunday. And it proves to show that, you know, Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, maybe, you know, on the downfall right now. And I hate to say that after one game because, you know, they are still 6-3. You know, they're right there. But, I mean, they just did not look in sync. You know, you look over at Bruce Arians, you know, first of all, real goofy guy, you know, kind of wearing a, kind of has that Peaky Blinders look with that hat. He wears his microphone, like, over his body as opposed to around his waist, which I'm like, what is he packing? But obviously, he's just, you know, a different breed. He always seems like he's just grumpy the whole game, and him and Brady always kind of like, you know, every time they lose, he's like, well, you know, Brady's got to be better, and then Brady just kind of just like, you know, doesn't say much. So, don't know what's going on there. Bucks are going to have to get it together because if they can't get, you know, in shape now, it's going to be a long end of the year for Tom Brady and the Bucks.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My Riddle's rant of the week is going to have to go to the Chicago Bears. Real disappointment the last 3 weeks. You know, starting the season 5-1. Everyone's, you know, like, okay, Bears, you know, I didn't think they'd be that good this year, but look at them now, they're 5-1. Then they get three tests in a row, the Rams, the Saints, and the Titans, and they fail. They failed miserably. Their offense looks like the old offense, the old Nagy offense from last year. I can't lie, I'm still in a big-time Survivor League where I only got one strike left, so, you know, one more strike and I'm out. So I went with the Titans this week against the hometown Chicago Bears. And I am not upset about my choice because I knew the Bears would go into Tennessee and get stomped. And that's exactly what they did. You know, their defense looked pretty solid early, but some questionable fourth downs that the Bears went for early where, you know, classic Cordell Patterson gets the run, stuffed for a 3-yard loss. And that just opened the door for Tennessee. You know, A.J. Brown with a phenomenal game for the Titans, you know, catching touchdown passes left and right. You know, Tannehill, if you would have looked at the numbers that Tannehill and Foles had the first half, you don't even want to know because that was just ugly. But Tannehill, you know, he's a winner. He finds a way to win. I used to say the same thing about Nick Foles, but not on Sunday. It was a real, you know, I don't blame it on Nick Foles because the offensive line is garbage. You know, they have no running game right now. The Bears are going to have to get it together or their season's over. Luckily, they pulled some wins out of their ass early in the year, so they're still in the playoff conversation. But that's not going to be for long because they obviously, against good teams, just don't have it. They don't have the offensive firepower. to hang with the big dog. So it's just sad to see that the Bears are once again, the Bears are who we thought they were.
G-Force Spotlight of the Week.
My G-Force Spotlight of the Week has to go to my Northwestern Wildcats again. A huge win against the Nebraska Cornhuskers on Saturday. Northwestern has still yet to allow a point in the second half for the first three games of the season, which is a record for them. An insane, you know, a grind-out performance against a Nebraska team that was hungry. You know, they got Blake Martinez in there at quarterback with McCaffrey's brother coming in for random plays. So it's not like Nebraska's not strapping some offense. But Northwestern stayed strong. You know, they put their foot down on the defensive side. They were up early, but then let up the lead. But then they were automatic in the second half, you know, not allowing Nebraska to get anything going. On the offensive side, they look smooth. Ramsey, the quarterback from Northwestern, just really calm in the pocket, which I love to see, is not making mistakes. And right now, Northwestern is 3-0. I can't tell you how happy that makes me, as they're watchable again this year. They weren't watchable last year. They're watchable this year. They have a couple of big matchups coming up. Every matchup's huge, as I said, in college football. But Northwestern with a real chance here to make some noise in the Big Ten, and it just makes my heart warm. First down, Wildcats. Rawr, 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 rawr. My flick of the week this week, it's going back to one of my all-time favorites, Breaking Bad. I've probably talked about Breaking Bad before on the Flick of the Week. I'm not sure if I have, but if I have, I'm talking about it again. I've been recently binge-watching the whole series again. I'm currently on season 3 out of 5. If you go back and watch it, you will forget how freaking good this show is. I mean, you realize, if you rewatch it, that the first two seasons are almost a giant, you know, prelude into the actual show. I was talking about how the first season was, but after watching the second season, both phenomenal. But they lead into season 3, where you then discover the cartel, Gustavo Fring, and you're like, wow, this shit's getting real. And that's just where I am right now. So I highly recommend, I assume most of you guys have watched it, to go out and watch it again, because it is the best show I've ever seen in my life. You know, right there with Game of Thrones. You will appreciate me for telling you to go back and watch it, because it is out of this world. I'm acting like I've never seen it before. But there's so much that's happened that you do forget a lot that's happened throughout the duration of the show. And I just entered the cartel, and I'm not going to say anything less, but go Walt, go Jesse, go everybody. You know, this show is unbelievable. You root for everybody, even though everyone's a scumbag. Go Hank Schrader. Let's fucking go. Let's go. My bet of the week this week, we're going to go to some Maction. The Maction's back. It came back last week. Nothing else going on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night for that matter. So I'm going to take you to my Maction bet of the week. It's a parlay. I have Akron against, well, I don't have Akron, but it's a matchup between Ohio and Akron. Ohio is 27.5-point favorites. I know that's a lot of points, but Akron is really bad just from watching them last week and last year. I'm taking minus 27.5 for Ohio, and I'm parlaying that with a Miami of Ohio plus 9.5 spread against Buffalo. Both good teams there, but I think 9 points is a lot to give a good Miami team. So I'm taking the Ohio minus 27.5, Miami plus 9.5 parlay. Book it. You won't be disappointed. It is now time for my favorite segment on the Riddle Me That podcast, the Fichtner Cup Fantasy Football League for Extraordinary Gentlemen, the best fantasy football league in the world. I preach that every week on the show. It really is the best football league you can be a part of. And we're going to start off with breaking news. This just in, the Minneapolis Mike Caputos trading over Aaron Rodgers and Tyler Boyd to the Dodson bailouts for A.J. Brown and J.K. Dobbins, probably the biggest trade we've had this year. You know, not a lot of trades happening. Not a lot of trust among the league, but these two guys, Nick Fornato and Matthew Kwanin, both desperately needing a win. You know, both on huge losing streaks right now. It's the Caputos that really need, you know, a big-time wide receiver here. So willing to give over Boyd. And, you know, lots of room. You know, he has three quarterbacks in Herbert, Rodgers, and Brady. So he's obviously tired of the Brady train, so he's going to put in Herbert. But it's the, you know, I think with the addition of A.J. Brown, that gives him some more of an identity in the wide receiver area. And it's the Bills really needing a quarterback. Dak Prescott going down was huge. Hasn't been able to find that right QB since Prescott's departure. So I think both sides win here. I really like it. You know, they called me last night on a three-way call, wanting to let me know first before the trade goes through. But now everybody knows this is the trade that's happening here in the Fichtner Cup Fantasy Football League. So huge trade here. I hope it works out for both teams, but both of them coming off huge losing streaks, desperately needing a win. I love the trade. But let's hop into week 9 matchups. We had a lot of big time matchups going on this week. It's the witching hour, as you guys all know, in the fantasy football world. So let's hop right into it. Let's start off with my team. The Sukun Saloons taking on the McGee's Human Centipedes, the hottest team in the league right now, starting off 1-4. Now at 4-4. Was it enough, you know, led by Dalvin Cook, who gave him a 38.2 spot on Sunday. But was it enough against the Saloons team that had Kyler Murray counter Dalvin Cook with a 37.92 spot? It was not. As it came down to a Monday night, you know, will Jameson Crowder get the 14 that he needs? And he made it close. Jameson Crowder getting 9.6, you know, with a touchdown happening at the end of the first half. But it was the Patriots' dominance in the second half, not allowing Crowder to do his dance. And it was the Saloons ultimately getting a victory, 110.72 to 106.3. It was a hell of a battle. Nasser, you've come back in the league. You found your voice in the locker room. It's just a matter of fact that you can get a couple wins at the end of the year. Currently in a playoff spot. So can't be mad about the victory for yourself. You know, you found it on that team. You know, you found Dalvin Cook, but ultimately came up just short against the Saloons team that's surging right now. The Saloons have had their identity throughout the year, and it was a big win for the Saloons. You know, you don't right now with all these 4-5 teams, you know, I don't want to slip, and so I needed that victory, but ultimately it was a hell of a battle, and you're right where you need to be to make that playoff run at the end of the year. Let's go to a huge upset. We're on upset alert here. Dan Fornato's Vegas Sun, big ticket, 1-7, defeating the Dotson bailouts, 94.96 to 86.52. Not a lot of production out of the bailouts as running backs, with Ronald Jones only getting 3. Justin Jackson leaving the game with an injury with 0 points. It's tough to see a guy like A.J. Brown, who put up 18 for Kleinans, leaving, but he is receiving a quarterback and Tyler Boyd, who's a solid receiver, so I like that trade. The bailouts, after going 0-1, moved to 5-1, is now 5-4. Crazy year for the bailouts, going all over the place in the power rankings. I like this trade going on with Nato, as you need to mix something up, but will it be enough to sustain a playoff run? Time will tell. I like the trade. Really need to be done, but let's give some love to Big Ticket himself, as, you know, being 1-7, not even starting at tight end this week, gets the dub. You love to see a team that's down fighting till the end, so I give Ticket credit, but nonetheless, terrible loss for the bailouts, as you don't want to, you know, you're trying to be 6-3. Big difference between 6-3, 5-4, so gonna have to find a win next week, but he's heading in the right direction with the trade made with the Minneapolis Mike Caputos. Let's go to another upset alert here. We have Big Sam with a huge victory over Big Daddy for 3, 122.7 to 94.08. Big Daddy moving from 4-4 to 4-5. Big Sam is the hottest team in the league right now, putting up the highest points of the week. You know, starting off 1-6 is now 3-6, not out of the playoffs yet. Big Sam is found. He's setting his lineup. If he only could have been doing this all season, he'd be in the playoffs right now. But he hasn't. And that's the storyline here. You know, with next week having a couple players on bye, will Big Sam start his lineup? If he does, watch out for Big Sam as he's putting up numbers right now. You know, with Josh Allen giving him 36. Josh Allen's doing his dance. Devonta Adams always doing his dance at 28.3. That's going to be enough to get it done in this league. You know, if he has Josh Allen and Devonta Adams producing with a little Julio on the side, it's going to be a tough out. Don't want to play Big Sam right now. Hottest team in the land. Big Daddy for three. You know, don't want to play Big Daddy coming off a loss. But he's going to need more performances out of his team other than Patrick Mahomes, who's consistently giving him 30. But it's the rest of his team that's letting him down. Hard for him to find a running back identity right now with David Johnson leaving the game early with a concussion. DJ Dallas with the 11 spot, but at the end of the day, that's not going to get it done when you're going up against the big dogs. So, going to need a bounce back performance from Big Daddy if he wants to stay in the playoffs. I think he can do it, but he's going to have to get the boys together and hit it real hard because it's the witching hour, ladies and gentlemen, and we all know what happens in the witching hour. Another upset alert here. We have Ethan Holman defeating Bout That Action 114-105. Real huge performance out of the return of Christian McCaffrey, giving him a 32.1. Two touchdowns for McCaffrey. Keenan Allen and Will Fuller doing their dance at wide receiver, combining for 40. You know, Big Ben giving him a 25 spot. Real huge win for Holman, moving himself to 4-5. Bout That Action, you know, moving to 7-2. Not a bad loss for Bout That Action. Still, you know, comfortably in that 2 seed right now. But it's going to have to be, you know, next week, you know, mentality for Bout That Action. Going to have to wash this one out the drain, which I think he will, you know, with all that hype he's got going on there. Holman, you know, coming up, you know, don't want to play Ethan Holman down the stretch as he's now 4-5. He's found something in that locker room. It's going to be wire to wire for the rest of the year for Holman, but huge win nonetheless, proving that he's capable to make a playoff run. Our last matchup here, a huge heartbreaker here for the Minneapolis Mike Caputos, which really, you know, prompted this trade. It was the 69ers featuring Nick and Madison with an 84.54 to 83.36 victory. It all came down to Damian Harris on Monday night, and he was able to get 7 points before leaving the game with a concussion of some sort. I believe it was a concussion. It was some injury where, you know, he surpassed Nato by a point, and the next play he got hurt. It was a devastating loss for the Caputos, moving him to 3-6. Cannot find a W this lately. And it's do or die time for Nick Fornato. If he cannot do his dance consistently for the rest of the year, it's not going to end well for the Caputos. It's going to be a freak bowl, you know, competition for him. You don't want to be there. He's not, you know, he's a champion. He's a two-time champion in this league. You know, there you go. I'm giving you that credit, Nato. I know that I talk about Big Daddy for three a lot with the two-time champ, but you are also a two-time champ. So if anyone can do it in this league, it's you. You know, you're not done yet. If you, you know, you control your own destiny for the rest of the year. But you got to start with a win next week. And that takes me into, before I get into the power rankings, I want to talk about next week's preview matchups to show the world what everybody needs to do to secure a playoff spot. And let's head right into it. We have the Sukun Saloons taking on a Ethan Holman team that needs a win here to go 5-5, you know, to secure himself in the playoffs. But he's playing a Saloons team that's hot. I'm not going to go against myself. I'm picking the Saloons here in a close matchup here against Ethan Holman. I refuse to lose to Ethan. And I'm sure he's listening to the podcast this week because he won. He only listens if you win. So here you go, Holman. Big time matchup. Can you win it for yourself and take down the Saloons? We have another primetime matchup here. We have the 69ers featuring Nicky Madison against McGee's Human Centipede, both battling for that East Division. With Luke being 5-4, the Centipedes being 4-5, will the Centipedes take down the division leader and equal out 5-5? We will see. I am picking Nasser to win this matchup. Luke is, you know, he's escaped out of victory against Nato this week. He's not going to get so lucky next week. Russell Wilson and Dalvin Cook are going to be too much for the commissioner to handle. We have the Dotson bailouts going against Bout That Action. Bailouts desperate for a victory here. You know, still 5-4, but on the, you know, wrong side of winning right now. Tough for me to go against Bout That Action again this week. I was right about the Ethan Holman victory, but I don't think Bout That Action wins or loses twice in a row. I'm taking Bout That Action here. I'm sorry, bailouts. I want to see a victory out of you guys, but I don't think it'll be next week against Bout That Action. We have big day for three going against Minneapolis Mike Caputo's with Mahomes on bye. That's so big for Coughlin. Man, it's going to be a battle. Both teams at 4-5 against 3-6. I'm going to have to go against you, Big Daddy, for three. I hate to do it, but I think Nick Fornato, he's 3-6. It's tough to go against the Nick Fornato 3-6 team. I'm taking the Caputos here in a barn burner. And our last matchup, last but not least, we have the matchup of the year, the matchup of the week. Big Sam going up against Dan Fornato's Vegas Sun. Both sides having tons of bye weeks. For both players, will each team set his lineup? We don't know. But assuming each don't set their lineup, Big Sam in line for the victory here. I'm taking Big Sam here. He's won two in a row. He's hot. Both teams hot here. Both winning last week. But it's Big Sam that's going to ultimately get the victory, which is going to take himself to 4-6, making him in the playoff hunt. I don't know how it's happening, but Big Sam, you're proving the world wrong right now. We know you're alive out there, but can you stay alive for a few more weeks to make that playoffs? Now it's time for the end of week 9, start of week 10, power rankings. We're also going to do a playoff bracket prediction, as that's the league once going forward. But let's go to the power rankings. Starting at number 10, we have Vegas Sun, Nick Pastuovic. I know you came off a win this week, Pastuovic, but unfortunately, Big Sam did as well, so I can't move you up from the 10th spot in the power rankings. It's Nick Pastuovic at number 10. At number 9, we have Big Sam. Both teams coming off wins, but I can't move you up just yet because you're still 3-6, Big Sam. One more victory for you, and we're talking 7-6 range. The following week, a big battle between you and Pastuovic next week. That's going to determine some rankings at the bottom. But Big Sam, you're coming in at number 9, but potential upside for the weeks to come. At number 8, we have the Mike Caputos, Nick Fornato. Man, it's hard for me to say that they're at number 8 right now, but with losing 4 games in a row, it's hard for me to put you anywhere else. Big Sam lurking, you know, I could have put Big Sam at number 8, but I still believe Nick Fornato's team has something. You know, they're not done yet. You know, they have something to say here, but for now they are number 8, as they need to find that voice in the locker room. At number 7, we have Big Daddy for 3, Kyle Coughlin, losing this week. You know, huge loss for Big Daddy. You know, going 4-5, currently out of the playoff projections. Needs to find a way to beat Nick Fornato next week. I know I said Fornato would win, but that does not mean Big Daddy doesn't care what I have to say about the predictions. He's going to come in firing next week. That's going to be a battle. That's going to have huge playoff implications. Both the do or die win for Big Daddy for 3 and Nick Fornato. But at number 7, it is Kyle Coughlin. At number 6, we have Ethan Holman. Coming in at the number 6 spot, currently in those playoff projections. Huge win over Bout That Action. Had to reward him with a playoff projection. But it wasn't good enough to get to number 5, where Mike Nasser hosted in the league, even coming after a loss to Saloons. It was only a 4-point loss, showing that he's a team to be reckoned with. Moving, it's a huge, you know, Nasser and Holman going from the 7 and 8 spots to the 6 and 5. I think it was fair. They're due. They've paid their dues at the bottom. But now they're here. They're in the playoff projections. It's crazy to see. these two teams not afraid of the moment. And here they are at 6-5. At number four, we have the... this is a tough one, but I'm going with the Dotson bailouts. It's hard for me to move them down from three, but with Luke Boyd getting that victory over Nick Fornato, as gross as it was, you have to put Luke at three here. Everyone's not going to like this, but he is on top of his East Division. You know, he's gotten wins when he's needed it, and that puts Luke at number three. With the bailouts losing three in a row now, moving them down to number four. Still 5-4, but hanging on for dear life here. It's the bailouts at four, and Nick and Madison at number three. At number two, we have Bout That Action. Even though coming off a loss to the bailouts, they're still heavily favored for that two seed right now. Real solid squad. Yeah, an off week next... or last week, but, you know, tough matchup with McCaffrey coming back for Holman. So it's about the action at two. And at number one, we have the Sukun Saloon, who just refused to lose right now, coming in at 8-1. Hot. He's hot. But he's also, he knows he has work to do. This record means nothing if you can't win a championship. So looking forward to my next week matchup with Holman. Going to be a battle. Gonna have to prove that when you're number one, you always got a target on your back, and it's do or die time for the Saloons. Can you keep that top spot? For playoff projections, so this was Luke Boyd, the commissioner, wanted a playoff projection segment this week, and so I'll add that right there. It kind of goes similar to the rankings I just gave, but he wants the playoff projections, and that's what we'll get. At the one seed, right now as it is, the Sukun Saloon is getting that first round bye. Being 8-1 this year, you know, deserving of it right now. We will see in a few weeks once the playoffs begin, but that's where the Sukun Saloons are projected right now. At the two seed, we have Bout That Action. Even though coming after a loss to Holman last week, still comfortably in that two seed spot. Having a great year, has all the hype in the world. Really scary team once playoff time. At number three, we have Luke Boyd taking on that six seed, Ethan Holman. Both teams coming off huge victories last week. So that would be a battle. Luke and Ethan taking it on in the first round. Love to see that. And then at the 5-4 matchup, we have the Centipedes and the Bailouts. That'd be a real primetime matchup. Both teams 5-4 and 4-5. But after the trade Klein Hans made, will it put him over the top? We shall see. But those are your current playoff projections for the Fichtner League. We only have a few weeks left of regular season. It's crazy how fast a fantasy season goes. So looking forward for the last few weeks as hearts are going to be broken, dreams are going to be made in the Fichtner Cup League. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Big, big week next week for fantasy football. It's a shame if you're not in the league. If you're listening to this podcast, get into a league next year. It changes everything. You know, in these dark pandemic times, it is essential to be part of something with your friends, especially virtually. So this gives you a safe way to hang out with your friends and also produce fat stacks. I hope all of you guys have a good rest of your week as it's getting colder out there, so stay indoors, grab a Bud Light, sit by the fire, do what you have to do to survive. I'll see you guys next week. We got a big show coming next week, big fantasy implications, and I hope to see you guys all there. Riddle Daddy is now out.